It's Backstage Pass with Steve Ryan. And here's your host, Steve Ryan.
It's Backstage Pass with Steve Ryan, and I am so thrilled with our guest today, taking some time to come into the studio, Trevor Steele from the Escape Club, lead singer, guitarist, extraordinaire, songwriter. I mean, Trevor, you have done it all, and I'm so thankful that you're taking some time to join us today. How are you?
I'm good, Stephen. Thank you for inviting me.
And you're in London.
I am at the moment, yeah.
Hey, I know we've got a limited amount of time, but I got a number of things that I want to go over with you. And obviously, people want to hear about the song "Wild Wild West."
Yeah.
I think most people who think of the Escape Club think of "Wild Wild West." I remember back it was about '88 when that song came out. I was a disc jockey on the radio, and I played that song, and it was so popular. We had it in super heavy rotation, which means we're playing it every 4 hours.
Yeah.
And it still wasn't enough to satisfy all the requests that were coming in for. And I think it's a great song, and I think the video helped as well. And I had heard, I mean, that was a number one song here in the States.
Yeah.
And I had heard that you're at least partly influenced by a Run DMC song.
Yeah, it started off like that. That was the strangest thing. John, our guitarist, and my co-writer over many songs. Oh, sorry, excuse me. Ignore that guy. Sorry, mate. Start again.
Right.
Yeah, you can edit that out. John, our guitarist, we decided we wanted to change direction a little bit from our first album. So we're on our second album. And he was sitting downstairs late at night watching a late night music show, and Run DMC came on. He went, "Oh, really? I really like that sort of that hip hop beat. That's a really cool beat, you know, that those guys are doing." He went upstairs and programmed on his little drum machine a beat in, which is nothing like the Run DMC ones, twice the speed, but it was the original inspiration, and it got us going, and it really helped.
You know, I don't hear that very often, where the song starts out with the drum part.
Yeah.
It's usually a piano or a guitar or something like that.
Yeah, it's very rare. And the way that worked is he played me the drum beat, and I just started singing over it. So it was kind of which, if you listen to the song, it is pretty much drums and vocals on the verses to start with. So that's how it started. Yeah.
And so, Wild Wild West, what were you thinking when you came up with that? I mean, I, from an American standpoint, when we think about the Wild Wild West, I mean, it was kind of like the video where, you know, the cowboys and, you know, we're thinking about, you know, Wyatt Earp and stuff like that. What was in your mind?
Well, we grew up with that stuff as well. That used to come over on the TV in the UK. But I was thinking, I love the title Wild Wild West, which is obviously why we used it. But then I started thinking about, well, we're living in the Western world. In those times, it was the height of the Cold War. And I teased the lyrics around that, and I teased it around AIDS and all the bad things that were happening, and just saying, well, let's just have a good time anyway. We're living in the Wild West.
So, I mean, it's a very happy, musically very happy song, but there's actually a serious component to the lyrics.
Yeah, there is. If you dig deep, it's there. Yeah.
Nice. And you know, that obviously went number one here. And I had heard that that in the UK, they wouldn't play the video.
Yeah, it's kind of, well, that was an excuse the promo guy made, because we had two separate labels. One, we were with Atlantic Records in the States, which was brilliant. They did a great job. But the guys in the UK didn't, now I'm in the business more, I can see what happened. They didn't work the record quite as much. And I think it was just an excuse for why he didn't get it on the TV, I think. I don't think it
Do you that. Think, yeah, do you think that, I mean, because it didn't chart in the UK at all. No. And but so number one song over here in the States, and that was shocking. I hadn't realized that till I started digging deep into the history of the song.
Yeah, it's really strange. It's funny actually, because we were over in Los Angeles, and one of the top DJs on Radio One, which is the big radio show here, we'd got to number one, and he was phoning me up on a live interview saying, hey, how does it feel being number one in the US? And I was like, it's pretty good. You know, it's the middle of the night, you know, whatever, in the morning or whatever it was there. He said, well, why don't you think it's been a hit? And I said, over here. And I was like, well, because you're not playing it, mate. You're not playing the record. What do you think? You know, so I upset him a bit with that.
And I'll expand on that a little bit, because the way radio works in the UK is a lot different than the States. When I was a promotion manager for PolyGram Records, I was working in the early 90s with Kathy Dennis.
Oh, yeah.
She's
Kathy,
very acclaimed, and she's a big songwriter.
Yeah, I've written with her.
love Kathy. Actually, I spent some time with Kathy twice. When I was in Detroit, we got lost and spent about 3 hours trying to find a radio station on a car trip to do it in person. But it's funny now, but it wasn't then.
Yeah.
And then we had dinner when she did a show in Seattle. But we were talking about how the difference between radio in the States and in the UK. Is it still that way?
Well, as much as radio has an influence now, I guess it is, but now we've got social media and Spotify, everything's right. Different. But no, back in those days, there was one radio station. I mean, we're a small country, okay? So Radio One, if you didn't get on that, you were pretty well finished, you know? That was the way things right. went, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. And like you said, today it's easy to put out music. I mean, I don't think that for a lot of people, radio is the first place that they go. I think that it's some people still use it, but some people... You know, they're on Spotify, or yeah. You know, they're listening to Amazon Music or whatever, and they're finding their artists other ways. But I think on the flip side too, is it easier for you as an artist to get your music out there now and have it be found?
Well, it is for us, because we've got our fans from back in the day, and we put stuff out and they'll find us on social media. Except our Facebook got hacked last month and we lost all our fans. So, but. Yeah, hey, you know, you just got to keep going. But yeah, people can find us on Spotify and things like that. So we're not that worried. I think for younger bands, it's easier now than it was, you know. Interestingly, I was I lived in Australia for 15 years after the band split up, and I started managing this young band down there. They did really well, but we were talking about radio. I just said to the guys, they were 16 at the time, 17, I said, what radio stations do you listen to? And their answer was, I don't drive. Because in their mind, the only place you listen to the radio is their mum's taking them to school in the car. That was it. So that's where it's gone, I think, really, you know.
Right. Yeah, I think you're right. I did an interview one time with John Bon Jovi. When he had, at the time of the interview, had a number one song. And I asked him, how does that feel? You know, you've got the number one song in the United States right now. And he says, you know, I haven't had a chance to really think about it, but I think it feels great. You've been in that position.
Yeah. And he's right. You when it happens, it's like a weird dream. I mean, I found out we were number one in the States when I was still in the UK. And I'd never even visited America at that point. So we flew into New York to a number one record. And that was nuts. But it combined with the nuts feeling of visiting the United States for the first time. So the two went together, you know.
Exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems more exciting now when I look back on it than it did then.
Because you've been able to sit back and take a breath.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can we talk about, you've had a number of hits over here, but I'll Be There was a top 10 hit over here in the States.
I've come nowhere.
And that's kind of a departure from Wild Wild West. It's a mellow tune, but it's a serious lyric too.
Yeah, it is. And it's interesting how when people come to see us now, I can divide the audience into two halves. It's the people who've come for Wild West and the people who've come for I'll Be There. And then everyone meets in the middle. But yeah, that was written, if you can remember back in the days, we were on our third album. And the way music, again, we're talking about radio here, music on radio, they were just playing ballads. All the big hair bands, if you remember, all put ballads out because they weren't playing rock. And we're a rock band, you know, so our manager said to us, guys, we need a ballad. We're like, oh man, really, you know, do we have to write one? Yeah. So we were halfway through the album, and what happened was a friend of ours' wife died, and it really affected us quite deeply, you know, and we were really sad about that. And what happened was we had the melody and everything worked out. Guys went off to Mexican meal or something that night, and I just stayed behind. And I was imagining writing the song as a ghost, writing to my loved ones. And that's kind of, it came out really quickly. I just scribbled the lyrics down and just left them on the table. And the next morning the guys came and said, wow, those lyrics, if they sing right, they really work, you know. And they did. And it's touched a lot of people since. I'm really pleased I wrote that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you know it was going to be a single when you wrote it?
No. It was a ballad that we needed a ballad on the record. And it seems every time we played it to someone, it seemed to touch them quite deeply. And our manager at the time, his mother had just passed as well. So he was affected by that. And he said, you know what, we got to get this one out. And really, it was purely people power that made that a hit, because people just phoned the radio stations because it affected so many people, you know. It wasn't an obvious hit, if you know what I mean. Sorry.
Yeah. I saw somewhere, and I just wanted to check my notes and make sure I got it right. You guys are about to do a couple of shows, right, over here in the States?
Yeah, I'm about to do, next week, we're flying off to do the 80s cruise. We're flying to Orlando, and then right. We're off around the Caribbean. I've got another couple of dates booked in California for the Lost 80s Live. That's in August. There's other stuff coming in, you know, but yeah, we're going to be out there this year.
Is this the first time you guys have been back together doing shows since the Lost 80s tour?
Yeah, since the Lost 80s tour. Obviously, COVID hit everybody. Our drummer recently passed away in the last month, so we don't have a drummer anymore. So it's mainly me with whoever from the band can make it. But if not, we get session guys. As long as I'm there and it's my voice, I suppose people accept that that's the sound of the band. So what happens. Yeah.
So that's been about four years or so since you've really been out there.
Yeah, it has been. Yeah, it has. I'm really looking forward to this. The cruise of a really good friend of mine who used to be in an early iteration of the band is called Ian Curno, and he played keyboards. He played keyboards for Talk Talk, exactly. So Ian's joined us. So we're doing a Talk Talk song. Why not? You know, I'm such a big fan anyway. So I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, I'm a fan too. So that's exciting.
Yeah.
Well, what other projects do you have going on besides that? I know that you put out a single in November. It's called The Song of Our Lives.
Yeah. So I was contacted by a Korean label. And the guy who runs the label was a big Escape Club fan. And he said, look, what we want to do is there's been a whole bunch of Korean hits in the 90s that never got out. They never got outside of Korea. Do you want to have a go at doing one? So had a listen and picked one out and had to completely re-lyric it, but kept the melody. So we worked on that. And it turned out really well. I really enjoyed doing it.
I caught up with a friend. Heard you're asking about me. Gotta say that how everything seems feels like I've been here before, like I've lived here before. Do you still think about me? Does the drifting of loneliness ask, where did the longing go?
It's a great song. I wasn't familiar with it, but I had been obviously researching because I knew we were gonna have a conversation, and I found that, and I've just kind of had it on repeat for a couple of days. It's it's kind of in between I'll Be There and Wild Wild West. It's kind of a mid-tempo song, but it's just beautifully put together.
Yeah, it's a great, really good song to do. And funny thing is, with I'll Be There was a hit, big hit out there, out in Korea and the Far East and everything. So he wanted something more ballady and more sort of, you know, in that realm. So yeah, no, it worked out really well. It was a good sort of direction to go, and it sort of led me towards, I'm sort of thinking about some songs for a new album at some point in the near future. And I think that's kind of steering towards where we want to be sounding, I think.
Can we hold you to that new music from the Escape Club? Yeah, or are you going to put it out?
It will come out. It's we've got, you know, as we're old fellas now, we've got health issues. Some of us have. Johnny, the bass player, is not as well as he could be, and you know, all that sort of stuff. But we'll get it done. I mean, I'm full of life. I'm ready to go. So I think we'll get something going. Yeah.
And you look great.
Go on.
I said you look great. So I'm excited for you.
Thank you. Yeah, I think I'm hoping Ian will join us, Ian Curnow, because he and I have written quite a few songs together now. So I think if he comes in, then we can have a little bit of talk in there as well, which would be cool.
I don't think people realize how many hits you've written outside of what you've done with the Escape Club.
Yeah, written it and produced, really. I mean, John Holiday, the guitarist in Escape Club, and I, in the 90s, we became a production team. And we called ourselves Bump and Grind. And we did quite a few things out of the UK. So we worked on a lot of 90s pop. And then I moved to Australia to do, there was a TV show out there called Pop Stars. And I went to be the music guy on that. You know, it's like an early version of X Factor or whatever, you know, sort of thing.
Right.
So, and while I was down there, I discovered a young band, punk pop band. They were brilliant. So I got involved with them. I co-wrote and produced with them, and they became really big in Australia. So yeah, I've had a life of music. It's been great.
Well, I'm so happy for you. I'm really excited that you're coming to the States and you're going to get back in front of American audiences. And when you get that new album finished, I hope you'll come back in and speak to us some more, and we can talk about the new songs.
Definitely. I'd love to do that. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Trevor Steele, The Escape Club, thanks for coming into Backstage Pass.
Thank you, Steve. It's been a pleasure.
For questions or comments, email Steve at steveryan.songoftheday@gmail.com.